All right, we're jacked to start the week. Real Kipper and Bourne, Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jen Rolnick with you for the next 2 hours as we start our Leaf Edition Hour live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. What a weekend.
What a weekend indeed.
Started out Friday with a goofy fight.
Yeah.
Went into a good hockey game on Saturday. Then we rolled into Sunday with the Bills beating Taylor Swift.
Yeah. And?
But more importantly.
And your Toronto Argos underdogs.
Big underdogs.
Big underdogs.
Like 8.5 points.
Absolutely destroyed Winnipeg.
They dusted them.
Toronto is the city of champions once again, boys. Argonauts get it done. 8.5 point dogs. Wonderful game. Enjoyed it thoroughly.
Shout really. Out my boy Fraser Sopik with a big hit.
Big play.
Big play there.
Yeah. Game changing play.
Yeah.
Recovered a fumble on a punt, made it a 2-score game, and away we went. But it was awesome. I was really, really fired up. I love the Grey Cup. Jonas Brothers, you know, not my big cup of tea, but I will say
they should promote Canada bands.
I think you just go for who's the biggest guy that'll say yes.
I think that was the Jonas Brothers.
Yeah, I think that's like if you're the Grey Cup, it's like sure you'd like to get a Canadian. You'd love to have Shania every year. You'd love to have
the Biebs fans.
Yeah,
in the front.
Yeah, they did a good job of making it look like it was
a lot of people. How many of them actually follow the CFL? That's what I want to know.
Well, they also did a very good job of making it look like there's a lot of people there.
Yes.
But then like you see people that were actually on the field and there wasn't that many people on the field. Anyways.
Yeah. But there was 50,000 plus people in the building for that game.
If I can have one complaint.
Yeah.
You can't have the Grey Cup in a dome. Sorry, Vancouver.
No,
it's got to be like it's
outdoors,
in November.
Cold November.
Cold, Canadiana. Like it's got to be outside. I'm sorry. Like, you know, it's a beautiful stadium. It's great to have
and
all those people in it.
The ball should be a beaver.
No, it's just shut. No. I think it's better when it's outside. A little chill in the air.
I missed it, but like Prince Harry was there too. Did you get excited to see him?
I didn't see that. I didn't even notice that. I must have been
commercial
doing that with a beer or something at that time.
Is he still a big deal?
He's a large name. Yeah. Absolutely.
But he defected a little bit from the royal family, didn't he? Didn't he get into it with Meghan Markle and that whole thing?
He's looking for appearances.
Herald.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, we've had a mention of the Royals before the Leafs on this show. So sorry, not a great start.
The Jonas and the Royals got in before the Leafs.
I will say, I have one last thing to say. Argos.
Good for you, buddy.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Plenty to digest out of Saturday night's.
You want to
Toronto
skip the
Maple
Tyson
Leaf.
Fight, do you? You don't want to talk about it today?
That was.
We'll save that for. We'll talk about it in the National Hour.
All right. Okay. All right.
Let's not waste time on that until we need to waste time.
too much content today.
Lots of content.
So much.
So a lot to dissect out of that Saturday night where the Leafs, with the help of Mitch Marner in overtime, 40 seconds in, beat the Edmonton Oilers. So we could start on depth scoring out of Bobby McMahon. We could start on a big hit. We could start on the news that Austin Matthews is still nowhere to be found. I open it up to you, JB. Where
let's
do you
start. Let's start the hockey game itself from an overview perspective. What did you think of the matchup? How did the Leafs match up? How they look against the Oilers?
Yeah, I thought it was a terrific hockey game,
mm-hmm.
and I thought
on Saturday night.
Once again, that the Leafs are showing signs of playing a style that I think is conducive to their head coach without many lulls. I thought they competed hard. Once again, Stolarz to me is just a rock.
Yeah.
And
this is
it's
really
just not seen before. For me, in the 10 years Brendan Shanahan has been the president, that this type of goaltending has been provided for this long of a stretch that you say, like, you need a good goal to beat him.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, there were stretches where I felt good with Freddie Anderson in net for the Leafs. Well, you know, he had some great regular seasons for them. But, you know, Sammy made a point before we came on the air talking about how Stolarz actually makes you feel like, not like he's going to give you good goaltending, but it's an advantage in the game. Like you have a leg up on the other team.
Yeah.
You're the guy. You know, you're the team that's got. It feels like a cheat code a little bit having a goalie playing like this.
And who did he rob before the tying goal that I thought was going to be
in front of the net.
In front of the net. It came across. I can't remember who he robbed, but he robbed somebody right in front of the net before they tied it. And yes. You kind of thought, well, that's another one of the ones saves.
And you know what else he did? He made a great poke on a pass out from behind the net to an open player in front. Yeah. Like he fights, man, for a guy his size.
Yeah.
Playing hot. I do think that the way that they're playing, Kip, it's like they can't. They're just keeping games close. Like, normally when they would be behind in a game, they open it up a bit, they start to chase, and all of a sudden it's odd man rushes a little bit. They just kind of hung around, and both Washington and Edmonton gave them the chance to get back in the game. Right? They were given gifts, and they took advantage of the gifts. The Evan Bouchard plays are obviously what I'm talking about
Tom Wilson in Washington.
And I'm not sure that that's great, that you can count on the other team to make mistakes all the time. Yeah. However, if you keep the game close, you put yourself in a position where one mistake can get you back in it. So,
let me ask you, and maybe that's kind of what you alluded to here, but we talked about it a bit on Leafs Talk after the game, that this is part of the recipe where not a lot happens for a lot of the game, and then these last couple wins, it's just been bang. All of a sudden, it just happens in the third period where they let the skill takes over, and you get a couple fortuitous moments by Evan Bouchard, and they take advantage.
You know how I felt the last few years watching the likes of Justin Hall or the lily pad jumping up with a minute to go in the period getting caught.
You
start up
on that. Yeah.
And it's like,
Just wait,
you know, wait for an opportunity, manage the clock, don't have to gamble. And they've cleaned that part up. And that, to me, is the biggest difference, that there seems to be a level of discipline that even when the game isn't going great, just don't give anything up. And to your point, just be patient and wait for that opportunity. When it comes, we don't know. But when they do, let's pounce and make the most of it. And that's the way the game has looked most often than not for the Leafs. I know there have been some bad games, but it's part of the learning process.
And doesn't that feel like how good teams have beat the Leafs in the past, where, you know, the Leafs can't quite score, they can't get the next one,
And they wait for their mistake.
And they're hanging around, and all of a sudden, one Leafs mistake, and you're like, God, they made one mistake, they played pretty well. You know, Nick Paul goes down and scores or whatever, it's good recipe.
You know, a lot of it probably has to do with these things you're talking about with personnel. Like, the guys that they added, about Tanev's not going to get caught up the ice, make a dumb mistake late in the game, that's just not in his game. Hakanpää the same way, you know, you've seen him, through two games, he's still looking a little stiff to me, but he's not going to get caught up the ice. Oliver Ekman-Larsson definitely charges it up a little bit, but a couple of guys they added here are definitely more to that. They're going to stay back.
And they do a very good job of taking like the most dangerous middle part of the area of the net in front away, and that's why like Tanev can constantly block shots again.
Eight Saturday
night.
Like, some guys go half a year without eight blocks.
And it's
eight's absurd.
But he's always there.
Yeah. No, and that probably helps the goaltenders out. Just trust what's going on in front of them. Why don't we go to the coach? We'll get a clip from Craig Berube, his overview of the game, clip one.
A lot of special teams, obviously, in the second period. You know, they came out and pushed pretty hard in the third. But, you know, we don't, like, they had the puck more than us, you know, early on in the third, but we didn't give up much, you know. We really protected the interior of the ice tonight, I thought, our net front. I didn't, you know, the second and third opportunities we did a real good job on. We battled. We were like, we didn't quit, you know. It was a hard game. It was a good game. It's a hard game.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. It's a good game.
Don't want to go too long without mentioning Mitch Marner.
Before you go onto that, just one more thing on Tanev. You know, Tanev and McCabe is something to me that the Leafs haven't necessarily had in years past. You know, you put them up against that McDavid.
Pair.
Yeah, like you put them up against McDavid's line. McDavid ends up with 2 points because he gets one on the power play. He gets one at the end of the night and when they tie it. But I think McDavid was -3 in that game. Like, they did an excellent job against that. Good gaps, just limiting their chances, blocking shots. Like he said, limiting the middle of the ice. Yeah. If I'm watching that game, it's like, wow, that's, you can picture that in a playoff series against a good top line, having those two guys. So that was encouraging.
There's an article in The Athletic last week about how that pair, Tanev, McCabe, is like one of the three best pairs in the NHL at goals against, or expected goals
really?
Against, and keeping opportunities down.
Yep.
So, or great early.
Just say Mitch Marner plus three.
That helps.
David minus three.
Yeah.
There's that can sum up the night, too.
Yep.
And I thought the overtime where, once again,
on the two
the
on
most
one.
Dangerous player is dictating defensively the play on the goal.
Yeah.
Pretty good night for Mitch Marner. He was the best player on the ice. And
that's
a big thing to say when McDavid is also on the same sheet of ice.
For sure. Yeah. We'll get to the power plays, the special team stuff, but obviously, yeah, Marner was, you know, he's the type of guy who can control the outcome of a game in a way that not many people can because of the way he plays at both ends of the rink. And I thought he controlled so much of the play, the pace, the ability to, you know, on the power play. It was awesome.
The play in overtime is just absurd.
Yeah.
To get back on the two, to be the defenseman on the two on one, get down to a knee, redirect it to the perfect soft spot, get up, accelerate.
From, like, maybe the best passer in the league.
Accelerate all the way down the ice. And then, I mean, I'm not going to kill Stuart Skinner here, but Stuart Skinner gives him the whole net to shoot it into, and he does.
And
he shoots it into the wide open net that he gave him on the worst angle I've seen in a long time. But yeah, he was awesome. He was awesome.
Yeah, let's get Craig Berube's thoughts on Mitch Marner.
Yeah, he was excellent. I mean, he did so much good in all facets of the game, penalty kill, power play, 5-on-5. You know, he did a great job of breaking up that 2-on-1 in that play and going the other way and scoring.
There you go.
Yeah.
Effusive. Just will not. I'm sorry, boys. We got to get the coach's thoughts. It's just he's not expressive.
Yeah, that's fine. It's good to get the coach in on that.
He's just not expressive.
Starting to win some people over, I think, Mitch.
What's that? Like who, the coach?
Yeah, everybody. Maybe even the town. No, no, let's not jump to conclusions.
No, I think so. I think so. Do you want to talk contract stuff?
No, what's the point?
Well, what's I think it's point? Valid. Well,
what?
Did look, because all this stuff is, it's, you know, like last year when Willie would score goals, you go, okay, is he up in his dollar amount? Is he up in his value?
So did you see my poll that I put out today on Twitter, Kipper?
No, I did not. Mm. I should follow you.
You follow? Yeah, give me a follow.
I'm going to give you a follow. Tell me about your poll. I did not see it, and I do follow you.
You do. I was genuinely interested in this because I don't really know where I'm at. Like, I think I want them to sign him. I do, but, like, I'm not 100% sure on that. So I put it out there, and I said, where are we at on the Marner contract situation? ? And my options were just sign him, let's see the playoffs, let him walk. Those are the three options. And what do you think is leading the way?
Knowing this town, let him walk.
Let's see the playoffs was the final. So, and it's pretty close. 44.7% of people said just sign him, let's see playoffs, 45.2%, and let him walk was 10%.
Okay, it's almost like you think, like, they'll decide.
What do you mean?
Right? Like, it's, like, I got news for you. If it's, let's wait to the playoffs, like, there's a chance it'll be too late by then.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no question.
Right?
Yes.
So it's like, you want a poll? Here's a poll. Sign him now or let him walk? Which one?
Me?
Yeah.
Sign him now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, I actually think...
But I don't know about your poll.
I mean, it's just...
Everybody's saying wait to the playoffs, then they don't want to sign him
now. He's the foremost, most sensitive player in the league. The wait to playoffs thing would definitely hurt some feelings.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, look at the way he's playing.
So my poll just costs at least a chance at signing him?
Look what he's done throughout his career. He's one of the greatest Leafs already to have played, along with Austin.
Yeah.
And people don't want to sign him.
I think
that tells you how sensitive it's been.
Well, you got, you know, a combined 90% of the people either want to sign them or want to see some more in playoffs. I think both sides here have kind of messed up, but particularly the Leafs in that, you know, he's such a good player. And let's say you sign him and you give him a little bit more than you think he's worth or whatever.
Hold on. Why a little bit more? I don't understand that. He'll get the raise that he's entitled to if he plays fair market value. Like,
okay.
There's not a little bit more. I mean, he's at 10-9. He's been that way for 6 years.
Okay.
So what's the what? What
you
do
tell
you mean?
Me. You tell me. What, yeah. What do you want to see him get paid?
I don't want to see him anything.
Well, what do you think is the number?
I think he could be worth close to Leon Draisaitl,
which is $14 million.
Yeah, $14 million.
Jesus.
No Jesus. I'm telling Jesus. You. I'm telling you that if you stuck him out in the market as an unrestricted free agent, I think someone's going to come to him with between 13 and 14.
That's great. You know, I think the Leafs have messed up by letting it, you know, let's say he's worth 12. And the Leafs said, yeah, we'll give him.
Okay, hold on. Why 12?
Well, because he's probably worth about 12. Because he's
why 12? He's making 11 now.
Because he can't produce anything at 5-on-5 on his own. He can't produce in the big games.
Oh my gosh!
These are narratives
that have been following him by magic, by lies,
by
you and others that just say he's not worth it. Get rid of him.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying he's not worth being the second highest paid player
in the
NHL.
He over the last 5 years. Like only McDavid and maybe one other guy.
You have from someone telling you what to say. What is it?
Stop it.
Well, come on. Stop like it. This is
his. He is the third highest producing guy the last 5 years.
I'm sure he
don't
is.
Don't tell me he's not up there with.
He is
with
up
all
there.
The rest of them. But he has not delivered a Stanley Cup.
No, we're talking
and
about.
He hasn't delivered in the playoffs.
If he gets paid $12.5 to $13 million or whatever number, that's the highest paid guys in the league. You always talk about this internal
cap. No, it's not. It's going up.
Matthews makes $13.5 million.
That's old money. You're talking about old money.
No one can pass anyone else. Internal caps and this internal culture, but the Leafs can't have one with their
top
guy.
They can, but he may not. He might bypass it, and then
they can't.
Well, they can, but they choose not to.
Right, like
not
other
that
teams.
They can't. They choose not to.
Right.
So, listen. McDavid is the number one guy in Edmonton, okay? Edmonton thought that they were going to get Draisaitl for 13. And he said, no, the number's 14.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what happened?
They gave him 14. Right.
And the Leafs may be in the similar situation.
Look at Leon Draisaitl's playoff stats. Say that Mitch Marner is going to be worth what he's making is asinine.
If he goes to a conference final or he takes him to a Stanley Cup final, then he goes to 14.
Well, if he's able to produce like Leon
he can pick another team to go to and they go, we'll give you 13
so
and a half, 14.
I think he's not in Leon's class and there's no statistical measure that he is in Leon's class. Not one.
The stats will tell you he is. The numbers will. The production.
Not the postseason numbers. Not even close in the postseason. Like 50% of his output.
But Austin's weren't either. And neither were Willie's. Okay? Because they're all the same.
I don't get why you're trying to drive his contract to a place that's not.
Driving it. I'm telling you where it is.
And I'm telling you that that's not right. That's not accurate. That's a negotiating position that someone would set
not.
At the start of a
no,
deal.
No, and no one's. Why would someone need to tell me what I think he's worth after 25 years in the broadcasting business, 10 as an NHL player? Why? And I've lived through strikes and lockouts, and I've watched negotiations. Why would you think that I need somebody to feed me information so I can push Mitch Marner's numbers up?
I have no idea, but it always has felt like lobbying rather than
lobbying.
Genuine
assessment. But what about your stripping down of the value that he really provides?
I just don't think, you know, listen, he provides
it's okay if
value.
You say he's not worth it. It's okay.
I'm saying he's not worth it, Leon Echelon. He's not.
No.
I think
he's way more valuable than you think.
Well, Draisaitl has had 100 points 6 times in his career, and he has almost 108. He has 108 points in 74 playoff games.
He's making
Leon
an argument.
Draisaitl, and they're not the same conversation to me. I'm sorry.
He's making an argument that he's Craig Berube's most important guy.
He is.
Past Matthews.
Well, Matthews
past
hasn't.
Matthews.
But he hasn't been.
Okay.
But he hasn't. Matthews hasn't played at all under Berube. So Matthew's been hurt, and
terrific goal scorer.
But he's good defensively too, Kipper.
He doesn't provide as much value as Mitch Marner has to the Leafs as a penalty killer, minutes played. Mm. Okay?
Yeah.
His point production, even with Austin out of the lineup.
Austin Matthews is a center who has a Hart Trophy, who's the captain of the team.
He's a terrific goal scorer.
Yeah, perhaps the best ever up there with the top couple guys. Yeah.
But ask Craig Berube, like, who who he thinks might be his most important player, even with Austin back, I bet you he'd be pretty darn close to saying Mitch.
So,
for sure.
Austin's making the only thing is 13
and a half. They have never delivered in the playoffs, and they're all right there.
Sure. So okay. Austin's going to make 13 and a half. Let's say they were to give Mitch 13. Can we do that or no?
Mitch could take 12 and a half. He can right. take 12. And if he does, then I'm saying that he may have left $2 million on the table. Okay. I'm not saying that Mitch won't sign. He won't give him the discount. He won't do this. He won't do that. That's for him to decide. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you right now that guy is in the ballpark of all the rest of them in terms of where his value lies. Whether or not they chooses to take it or not is up to him.
Why don't we got Berube on this, right?
Yeah, he got asked by Luke Fox, asked him if he was worried about the contract stuff heading into the season. Clip four.
I mean, I don't worry about that stuff because it's out of my control. I mean, and he's obviously not worrying about it. He's just playing hockey and he's enjoying it. He's had a great, every day. This guy has tons of energy and life at the rink and on the ice and practice and during the games. And, he's in a real good spot right now.
Here's what I would say about if Mitch Marner mm-hmm. had what Leon Draisaitl did in the playoffs, he is 100% in the conversation with Draisaitl.
If you're Utah or if you're a team that needs scoring, they don't care.
You don't think they care at all? I think they care a bit when the biggest games, it's like he's shrunk in the biggest games, Kip. It's just a fact.
No, he's shrunk. So is everybody else. The team was never good enough. The team never had the depth on the blue line.
Like a defense.
They never had goaltending like this. Okay? It's like... To put that he shrunk in the playoffs on him will not take away.
But we're talking about him. We're not talking about Wheelie.
Why aren't we talking about, like, you could have made the same argument for Matthews that he shrunk in the playoffs too, and he didn't deserve 13.25.
I think if he doesn't shrink in the playoffs, he gets 15. You know, I do think these are relevant things. The point I was trying to make before we got off the rails here is I think had they gone out early and paid him, even knowing that it hasn't gone how they wanted at the end, it's impossible to deny from a fan perspective watching him here over this month that this guy is a guy who gets you into the playoffs, who is a difference maker, who's fun for the fans to watch and separates your team. Some nights nothing happens. And then he's the guy who makes something happen for you, and it just makes such a world of difference. You're never going to regret having paid a guy like that. Maybe it's $100 million over 8 years. I just think now you're in a position where we're going to talk to Elliot later, talk about the salary cap going way up. And all of a sudden, I can see why, it's great for Mitch's bargaining that they're talking about the cap going way up because they're going to cost themselves some money for not having done it yet.
For sure. Well, I agree with that.
You can go back in history and you can just follow kind of, the crumbs on where it kind of screwed up and how one chased after the other and one went up the other. And now it looked like last year it was Matthews and Nylander and Mitch was a distant third. And now it's like, okay, is he equal to Willie?
To me,
is he better than Willie?
Where I would feel comfortable at would be Matthews, 13, was it 13.5? Marner, 13, Willie at what he's at. Because I was in the camp, I was starting to wonder if Willie was more important, but you watch what Marner does in all facets of the game, he's incredible.
But it's just
not. But he's right below, he's right there.
It's not realistic that a guy's making 11 and then the cap rockets.
But Kipper, can I tell you
what? And he only gets $1.5 million to $2 million raise. But
people don't think he was an 11 guy. They think that contract stunk.
Do you know what just taking $500,000 less or $1 million less would do for his perception in this market? Where it's like a guy
ringing every dropout has not
gone
well.
Listen.
Like, that's where this started.
You know what? I call him a sap. That you got to suck up to the fans by cutting off $1.5 million. So Sammy can come on our show and say, what a great guy. He took $1.5 million less because he wants to win us over.
But
that's a loser in my mind.
A loser to me is someone who grinds every nickel and doesn't care about winning.
But you know better than everyone, he cares the most what guys like Dumbo Me thinks. By far, of all the guys, he cares the most. So why isn't he trying to help his perception that he cares so much by not grinding them for every dollar and talking about $14 million a year, Kippy?
But Matthews like, can grind them for every dollar.
But no, there was no grind.
There was a grind.
It's never, the contracts are announced before we're aware there's a contract.
There was no grind because the Leafs just said, we'll give you whatever you want.
Because he's better.
We'll give you whatever you want.
Because he's better player.
What does better mean?
Because he's just better. He's a better
hockey
player.
Better goal scorer.
Better goal scorer.
Better playmaker.
Better center.
Better playmaker.
No, but he's
better penalty killer.
Anyways.
Excuse me?
He's better.
Is he a better penalty killer?
No.
Is he a better playmaker?
Kip, if you put him in the middle, him and Marner in the middle, and took 32 GMs and said pick
where's
one.
Better for you?
He can compete in a physical game.
We don't see the game the same way, buddy.
Okay.
We don't. Fine. You think most goals is better.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm thinking about. Yep, that's it.
I think 32 GMs, if offered one of them, take the 6'3" center who can kind of pull a line along with them and, you know, do what all the Matthews things are. Do the hardest part of the game.
We do not agree.
No. But I mean, like, I was prepared to come in here today and have a conversation like
Listen,
this.
I didn't even want to go down this path.
You want to go, well, that's because you're trying to walk into UFA.
You voted me. You said, let's do the contract.
That's because you're trying to walk into UFA.
I said, no. Don't go there.
No, but I knew we'd have some sort of conversation. But I think the point is that there is a number to be reached where we're talking about the same slice of salary, whatever, where this doesn't have to be everyone's all rattled over $750,000 or what are the differences between what you think and what I think. And to me, Marner and the Leafs, there's something there that doesn't need to be this, like, you know,
contentious.
Yeah, this like Michael Jordan, and I took that personally.
It's
all
always
the time.
Contentious. It feels contentious.
With Mitch, with Willie.
No.
Absolutely.
Not with.
They just do their contract.
But they just gave Willie everything at his highest point possible.
Yes.
They just were like,
which
better.
Which is not awesome either.
Which was not great either, but he's lived up to it. He's been excellent.
Somebody's got
to
take it on the chin between the three of them.
No, that's not what compromise is, though. No. Like, I would love to just check my phone and be like, oh, they did Mitch at $12.75 for 8 years.
Where did Matthews compromise? Not only did they give him the money, but they said, tell us 4 years,
give him the
5 years.
He took less than
why didn't he take eight?
I agree.
Why wouldn't you sign him to eight?
Because he wants to make more money. Yeah.
I agree that that's stupid too. Like, you're preaching to the choir on that. I hated that.
David had to take eight.
No,
he didn't have to take eight. He chose to take eight. They would take whatever he would give them.
All right. Everybody took eight though. Everybody made the commitment of eight, except Matthews.
Have Mitch take five then. Go for it. Don't care.
I think
just
he would
trying
take,
to lock up a good player.
I think he would take 12 and a half at 3 or 4 years.
I think that'd be amazing.
Perfect.
Be amazing.
Perfect.
To me,
sign
like,
tomorrow. Done deal.
What sucks about this is, like, you know, he played so awesome last night, and he is paid this year to be a Maple Leaf, played awesome for it, and the fans can't come on our show and enjoy the meal. It's like going to Jacob's and you had a great steak dinner and you're arguing about what you're going to eat tomorrow for dinner. Like, enjoy this.
PB&J PB&J's for lunch tomorrow, boys.
Like, he's here. He was
you
awesome.
You guys
for this
brought
team.
Up the contract. I didn't.
Wow.
Okay, I was enjoying my steak and you said, let's talk about the steak tomorrow.
It's the coach is talking to the contract. You know, we talk about it because that's a relevant thing after a night like last night.
I don't know. I'm having a blast, boys.
It's good talk radio.
I love
okay.
it.
There was a hit.
Oh, yeah.
We got time to talk about
that.
Yeah,
we got a little bit of time. We got time.
Okay. Okay, seriously.
Seriously, what are you typing?
What's the big deal?
With the hit?
Yeah. Other than it was bad, and he got suspended.
Okay.
What's the big deal?
You think the length was not a big deal, or you didn't think the hit was that bad?
No, the hit was bad.
It was bad.
But so what? I mean, we've seen hits like this before, and it's standard that you're going to get suspended 2 games, and then if you hurt a guy, you're going to get 3 games, and then if you have
priors,
it's 4 games, and if you've been warned multiple times and it's your 4th suspension, you go to 5 games.
So you think this was like, bad hit, they got it right, here's your 5 games.
I don't know if they got it right.
Yeah.
That's in the ballpark, right? They're in the ballpark of Tanner Janot.
Yeah.
Okay, it starts with 3 and he's done it before. It's not his first illegal hit to the head. Yeah. Tack went on, and now you're between 4 and 5.
Yeah.
So what is the big deal?
Why are
people so upset?
I don't know. I
thought that the intentions of Reeves was way nowhere near as bad as the one on Besser.
Yeah.
Where on Besser, Janot intends, goes out of his way, puck's not there, throws it on elbow, hammers him. I thought Ryan Reeves made a play for the puck.
No.
He came in, it's bad. He should have got suspended, but I don't think he deserved five games. I thought it was a Toronto tax situation.
I think they're in the ballpark, both of them. What do we see? We saw Gallagher last year get five.
Mm-hmm.
He had a chicken wing, though.
Yeah. Reeves actually, like, when you teach people the forecheck, you lead with that stick at the puck, and he did that. Like, he took a swipe at the puck first, and then he's going to, you know, he's a big, strong guy, and, yeah, he catches him in the head. It's on you to not be reckless.
It's
got to control your shoulder.
It gets emotional, you know, and even for our panel Saturday night, Hockey Night in Canada, it gets emotional for sure because, you know, Edmonton fans on social media are screaming bloody murder, and, you know, it's emotional. But, like, I've done this for 25 years, and I can tell you that, you know, I get Luke Gastic on the show saying we got to get it out of the game because that's been a tagline for like 25 years. You see a hit, we got to get that. Well, no kidding, right?
Yeah.
I know we got to get it out of the game, but if you really look at it, we have gotten that out of the game.
Yeah, it's way better.
That
way
never
better.
Happens.
Yeah.
But we were close to 600 games this year. We've had like, this is the second incident.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got news for everybody. It is out of our game.
As much as it can it be in a game of inches.
And the truth is, like, people that said that he deliberately went after him, or he, like, come on. No. They're, first of all, they're friends. They're buddies.
I guess he went to the room second at intermission, ball. Went and apologized.
He's racing after the game, to your point, to go and apologize. And in my era, all I heard was, scrape that piece of crap off the ice and drop the puck. And it's like, it's not like that anymore.
Yeah.
So, like, it was just a bad executed hit.
It was a bad accident.
He's playing 21 minutes a night for them, five seconds less than McDavid.
You're telling me now Reeves came off the bench and said, I'm going to go rip that guy's head off?
Yeah.
Like, that's what I had to worry about. These kids don't have to worry about that today.
You know, I think a lot of it goes back to guys not expecting to get hit either. Like, you know, Nurse comes around the net. He's not really paying attention. It's like, you know, you're talking about your day. Anybody comes around the net like that, it's like, you got to have your head up in the situation.
Yeah.
And like, not blaming them. It's clearly a horrible hit.
Yeah.
But it just goes back to the conversation we've had a million times. Guys just don't expect it. And Reeves, full speed downhill, it's not a good recipe
I get it. You can sit there and say you left himself vulnerable. And that's up to him now to decide, you know, moving forward. How much more do I have to have of a radar? And, you know, it could have been a clean check. And he still could have been hurt, you know? So, I mean, it doesn't really matter that he left himself vulnerable. That's only for him to decide in the future how much more I got to protect myself, get my head up, get my stick up, make someone eat it before I ever get in this situation ever again. That's on him to decide that. But people saying, like, you know, he should have the right to not feel, you know, vulnerable is
that's crazy.
Ridiculous.
Crazy.
Let's
a really dirty hit.
It is.
Yeah.
Like, we got the coach on it. Let's listen to clip five on the Reeves suspension.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. You know, it's tough. I mean, it's a lot, you know, but at the same time, I get it too. You know, it's, you know, they've come down hard on hits to the head, and it's not like Revo tried to hit him in the head. It was just, it's tough play.
Tough play.
We got a clip two there on him. Should we check out number six as well, please?
Yep. His type of game, and sometimes things happen. And it's not like he's a dirty player. He's not a dirty player. He's a clean player, to my opinion, for his role. And there was no intention of him doing that. It just happened.
You know,
I don't think he is dirty.
I don't want to compare. We had a very... People are telling me they loved our Marty McSorley conversation.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that happened. Yeah.
All right.
That's good.
And I'm not comparing this to Marty McSorley taking a stick to Brashear's head.
But
there is always circumstances around it that people that don't necessarily understand the game or have ever played it before cannot comprehend. Mm-hmm. And... you know, for a guy like Craig Berube to come in from day one and just drive down their throats every shift. Finish. And what that means to Mitch or Willie or Austin is entirely different what it means to that guy.
Yeah.
So when that guy jumps out there and he sees a chance to do something that will get him a pat on the back, he goes and tries to his best of his ability. But the game is very fast, and it's knee-jerk reaction sometimes, and it's subconscious sometimes, and execution can go astray.
I think you and I, you know, probably you more than me, but have thrown hits in your career where the second it happens, like, ah, you know, like that didn't go exactly how I thought it was going to go, like as it unfolds, and I get it.
There was one night in Hartford, I hit Gary Galley.
What?
Have you ever brought this up before?
No, let me tell you. What's that?
Have we never brought this up with him?
No, we've never brought this up before.
Next time, we got to have him on and talk about this.
And I was absolutely ashamed of my hit. They carried him off on a stretcher.
Really?
And to this day, I was so ashamed, I couldn't even bring it up to him. We've worked on Hockey Night in Canada. Yeah, we've done playoffs together. And it made me so ashamed. I couldn't even have the nerve or the balls, say whatever you want, to go up to him and say, Gary, I never addressed this to you before, but I felt so bad. Mm-hmm. And it was like, couldn't explain it.
Yeah.
Couldn't even explain it to him.
You know,
so, Gary, there's my public apology to you for the first time, man.
Now,
I'm so sorry.
Did this happen because you were locked in?
I was locked in.
Like that, for me, it's like you're mentally committed. I'm finishing this check. And as you're going to do it, something changes in their positioning. And you're like, I wasn't open-minded to changing my own mind here.
Yeah, and now Reeves had been sitting for how long? Wasn't that right after the five? They had another kill. He comes around the net. He's like, oh, my God.
I'm going to get one here.
Ten Beller.
Yeah.
And boy.
Yeah. We should take a break.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we got to go.
We're so late.
We got to go.
Yeah.
What a segment.
Sorry, guys.
Wow.
Sorry, my friend.
We'll talk to guys again.
Take a break here, and I'll just feel shame during the commercial break. More Real Kipper and Bourne after the break.
Diving deep into Leafs, Raptors, Jays, and NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Did we catch our breath?
On to hot Cali Yarncroc talk.
No, hold on.
Bobby, your command. No.
Boys, I got a big read here.
Oh, no.
This is a long one, and
save us a little time for the
end. Here we go.
Okay. Hour.
This is first cold read here, so right. Here we go. Who wants to win a bunch of cash while doing the best this holiday season?
I do.
Okay. It's Sportsnet 590 The Fan's Fortune Supporting Food for Kids. Here's what you need to know. We've created a 50-50 lottery where the more money we raise, the more kids we can feed in the GTA, and the more you can win. The current take-home price is $50,000. Someone is going to take that jackpot home on Thursday, December 19th. And if you get your tickets early, there are a bunch of amazing early bird prizes, including a pair of tickets to Taylor Swift.
Whoa.
The Eras Tour this Saturday night, courtesy of Rogers. Get your ticket by Friday at 9 a.m. for the chance to win. For more details and to buy your tickets, go to the Food for Kids 5050.ca or text the word cash 590-590, and we'll send the link right to your phone. It's the 50-50 Fortune Supporting Food for Kids, standard message, and data rates apply, Ontario only. That website, again, is foodforkid5050.ca. There you go. Are you guys okay?
Are we?
So this is fast because Taylor Swift only has, like, what, four shows left?
Yeah, she's going to get 100 more shows. She's going to ride me off the highway. Probably ride me off the highway again.
Three, maybe. I heard they were unbelievable. Everyone who's gone has said it is, like, spectacular.
Okay, there we go. Okay, how'd I do? Okay,
you did great.
You
did great. Thank you. I had a little nap. Sorry for that's why I was.
And
out.
I just keep hearing amazing things about her.
Yeah.
Like,
listen, boys, we had enough Taylor Swift content on Saturday night. Holy crap! No. Let's just move on. Like, can we move on? Like, oh my God!
This is a bad time to give Sam our friendship bracelet.
Everything. It's like, oh, that Swiftie, boop, de boo. So I was like, oh my God!
A friend of mine has is one of the sponsors, so they actually can like call her at home.
What kind of tier of sponsorship is that?
They call her at home and they ask her if she could mind either staying a little longer at one of their corporate appearances or, you know, whatever. And then her mom goes, just a second, I'll ask her. Taylor!
Come on.
And then she goes, yep, okay, no problem. And then hangs up. Like, no lawyers, no my people will talk to your people.
Really?
She's just the type of person that would just say yes right away.
Wow.
It's a Swiftie show.
Yeah, listen. She seems like a sweetheart.
Should we turn the page now?
A sweetheart wouldn't escort half of Toronto off the Gardner during rush hour.
I'm impressed with her.
Nah, she's fine.
Okay. Are you impressed with Bobby McMahon?
Yeah. I got to say,
you weren't even sure if the goal went in on the breakaway.
I was impressed by Cuthbert, which, I mean, CC, I shouldn't be blown away by him nailing something, but he nailed the call, and I thought it hit the post and comes out. Mm-hmm. But
well, he's there, and he's got a better view than you.
The speed was breathtaking, fellas. Like, I couldn't believe he was going to win that race, and he did win that race.
Breathtaking.
Breathtaking, buddy. It took my breath away. I stood up off the couch.
Breathtaking.
Yeah, I'm not really sad about it, at least.
Isn't there a Seinfeld episode where a baby's breathtaking?
Look at the baby. Look at the baby.
Was it not? I don't know.
Very, very sad, breathtaking. What the hell's going on with my show?
In Sammy's defense.
It was amazing speed.
Great burst of speed.
He can only play, though, as a top six. You can't do that as a third liner.
That is a reasonable point that, like, the second you play this guy with players, you have a new player. Like, he's a lot more useful. I do wonder when everyone comes back where they slot him in because he doesn't seem to be able to create on his own, but put him in a line that's in the right end.
When he puts his mind to it, man, he can go.
He might make Berube mental because he has all the tools and why can't you do that all the time sort of thing.
The play he made on the first goal is my favorite play. Where he gets in on the forecheck, hammers Emerson, wins the puck, gets it to the front of the net, and ends up scoring it. It's just like, Berube watches that. He's like, you haven't been doing that? Why in the bottom six? It's like, he feels empowered or something when he's out.
How much do you blame Bouchard on both goals? The turnover on the Nyes goal. Both plays, by the way, Skinner's allowed to make better plays on those. Like, you don't have to get beat.
Just flip the goalies and Oilers win.
That is a no-brainer.
Right?
Yep.
That's what it's like, coming down to.
McMahon makes no fakes. Skinner's just so far out, he can't keep up with the speed.
What Edmonton Oilers fans have to deal with, no different than Pittsburgh or San Jose or Ottawa with Carlson all those years. It's just, he's really good in that end, and he's really good on the power play, and he's got a big shot, but like it's a mystery.
They were up 2-1 with 6:55 on the clock. When he goes to make a cross his own zone sauce pass.
The guy who's changing.
There was one camera angle out of the corner.
Yeah.
And it was like, what do you see?
He's like throwing it through.
Why would you ever attempt that? Did it hit McDavid in the shin?
It hit McDavid like in the hip or something.
What do you see that 18,000 people don't see?
Yeah. It's a one goal game and you're along the boards. Like, you're allowed to use the boards. Yes. Just get it out there. Anyways.
And, you know, credit to Matthew Nyes, who rips that. But, like, it's top of the circles. You know, no tip, no screen. Skinner can give him one there if he wants. It's allowed.
The only thing is still a mystery, is, you know, what do you do now is try to start solidifying third lines. Mm-hmm. If you've kind of noticed, there's other teams that have had much more success, i.e. Winnipeg.
Winnipeg's third line.
Even Washington's third line, you know, looks pretty darn good. But right now, you don't have any feel for a third line for the Leafs.
They're Robertson, Kamp, Holmberg. Is that that's on Daily Faceoff today?
Jeez. Holmberg was better too. No,
it's just Kamp is kind of finding some relevance. They're putting him out there in the D zone the way Keith used to.
Yeah,
he's coming around on Kamp, and
I can't believe how much Nick Robertson falls down. Like, I sent out a rude tweet about them having to ring out his jersey at the intermission.
It's still,
he's on the ice the entire game.
Still a big man's game.
I know.
And sometimes those guys can find a way, but Nick hasn't physically.
No.
give him enough room, he can shoot a puck. We've known that. But his battle, to your point, is staying on his feet when the checking gets tight.
Well, and like, look at guys his size who have success in the league. It's guys who don't get hit. Like, Marner's a good example. He's obviously much bigger than Robertson, but he doesn't get hit. Patrick Kane doesn't get hit. All these guys are evasive when they're smaller. There's not a lot of guys who are small and playing. He's trying to play Berube style. It's not his game. That's not going to work for him trying to be a big guy.
Okay, we only got a few minutes here, but let's talk about Craig Berube and his latest Austin Matthews, his captain's update.
Do you see him coming back for the game this week?
I do not see him for the game this week.
Has he been able to skate in this last couple days here?
No. Okay. No.
Hmm.
Okay, you had a tweet that
people are just killing me for.
What'd you tweet?
That's just ridiculous.
He's not playing?
No, that they're just hiding everything. Oh, yeah. Why is it so clandestine? NFL teams list all their injury reports, and it's a 10-time more violent league.
You can't even compare.
Why not?
Because
it's a more violent league.
I know. It's just NFL. That's what they've done all these years, and betting's been a part of that for
no one gambles
great
in the NHL.
History. If bettors now complained, I was with somebody the other day. It's like, the Leafs are killing my fantasy team because you don't know whether they're drop him or trade him I don't know what they do in fantasy, but you have no choice because you think he's coming back the next game and he's not, and he's pissed.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no pressure on the league to forward information like the NFL.
Well, I mean, the Leafs, they really hacked at McDavid's ankle that whole game. They were just trying to kill his ankle that entire game. They were just really going right after it.
To your point, people don't really...
It's not Kipper's prime anymore here. Like, guys aren't going to, like, if you're not giving him a hack and a whack when he goes by you every game, regardless of what his injury are, you're not doing your job. Like, it's not like in the heat of a game, you're like, oh my God, while he's trying to dance around you, let me hack him in the back.
Are you suggesting that
playoff time? Totally different.
2.5 weeks ago when they said day to day, they knew it wasn't day to day. Are you suggesting that?
Of course.
I don't buy that.
I don't either.
What?
I don't buy it.
So you think it's a disconnect between Leafs and Matthews situation?
Think it's a disconnect.
It's not coming around.
Exactly. It's just not coming around.
Okay.
They're like, is your back ready today, pal?
No, it's not. It's a little stiff.
Yeah.
Okay. Tomorrow? We'll try tomorrow.
I do think that they would look at the schedule and have Saturday to Saturday one game in between and say, okay, we'll just miss that one game and it gives you a whole week. But I would like to see him on the ice. You know, that would, if he doesn't play on Saturday, I think there's
Sunday.
On Sunday.
Yeah,
this week.
It's Wednesday against Vegas and then
Utah.
You can see them like looking at this rest period, but that's pretty concerning. If you play a month of hockey without.
Yeah.
You know, while claiming to be day-to-day, something lingering that long is not great. We have a second one. Is that any worthwhile?
What's the second
one? Matthews update too?
Yeah, play it.
Sure.
I think it's a little bit of a holding pattern, but he's not getting worse. So that's a good thing. It just takes time. It's just taking time. It's taking long. It's but it is what it is. And, you know, he's doing what he needs to do to get back in the lineup and get healthy. And our team needs to just push on without him right now.
I can only imagine, like the team around him to get him healthy right now.
Oh my God!
Right?
There's
like a NASCAR crew, just people.
Formula One.
They're spending a few dollars on him getting healthy right
like
now.
15 people in white coats
walking
every day
around
him.
One of those game ready like ice compression things at all times.
Doctor.
And before we end our Leafs Hour, we do have an update on Cali Yarncroc. Craig Berube, clip 7, please.
Yeah, tough on Yarny, right from camp, obviously. And, you know, it's he's got to get it fixed. And he'll be out a while, but, you know, it's too bad because he's a player that we liked and can help us and really haven't had that opportunity to do that.
He underwent groin and sports hernia surgery today. It's listed as month to month.
I got hurt. At the end of the year that I had 17 goals, I missed like 8 or 10 games. It cost me my 20-goal season. And I could not even get out of bed. It was that painful.
Mm. But, and I mean, that's...
And I needed 6 months to heal it.
Yeah. You don't think it was the Yarncroc?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what the surgery can do for you. I passed on the surgery.
Kali Kucherov?
And it got better. Ooh. Okay, stick around. Elliot Friedman, Hockey Night in Canada, next. National.